And that was Viktor Vlasnov, a Ukrainian composer for accordion, played by Jelena Milosevic on The Art of the Accordion. And this is a piece that, this is an album that I just, it's one of those adventures on the World Wide Web where I was actually looking for a place to perform in Rome, and I got to this website that was Saint something or other. I clicked on that, and it took me to another Saint something or other, which was in Nova Scotia, where this woman had just played an accordion concert. And then I just kind of browsed over there and then played a little sample of her on YouTube, and I was so amazed at the accordion. I mean, this accordion that she's playing is bending notes. I'd never heard notes bent like that. And her facility and the dexterity that she has in playing, and these composers I'd never even heard of. There's just, this album's full of them. So I'll play a little bit more later. But I wanted to get back to this topic today of Rethink Music. It's a symposium that I just came from in Boston that I'm kind of still reeling from the information overload. It was a number of music producers and musicians, and but mostly industry people looking at, and also people involved with rights and the whole gambit of digital rights in the future, and how there are efforts now to look at ways of encoding digital information, well, musical information that's been digitized, encoding performance copyrights and lots of things in the metadata that are available in digital format that we can use and we're not really taking advantage of. So there's an effort going on in Europe to bring all these things together. Right now, in terms of tracking your music, there's something called SoundScan, which pays if your music's played on YouTube or Google Music, or anytime your music is played online, there are tiny, tiny little micropayments that are sent to SoundScan, and once any composer or musician is signed up to SoundScan, you can collect your millionth of a cent. But the hope is that someday that this will accrue and become real money. And so these are the kind of topics that were being discussed in the Rethink Music Symposium. And I wanted to play a little bit of the opening, and I'm going to open up Performer, because I just kind of came there with my Zoom recorder and recorded some of these conversations. And I'll play a little bit of the opening from the president of Berklee College of Music, who started the keynote off. And I'll just play a little bit of him. I wasn't wild about, I mean, he's just to give you the tenor that he started with, because he was the very first conversation. And then I'm going to switch to some conversations that I had with people who were attending and getting their, what they were getting from the seminar or symposium. And as I say, the Rethink Music Symposium, this is the second year that they've done it. It was co-sponsored this year by the Harvard Business School and the Berklee School of Music in MIDEM, the European event organizer. Here we go. So this is now the president of Berklee.
Yeah, that was one of my big takeaways from yesterday. I can't remember what panel it was on.
Oh, no, it isn't the president of Berklee. This is just some people who were talking about it. So we'll go to them. Maybe I'll skip the president of Berklee. Here we go. Here's the president of Berklee. Ah, the joys of doing this live. Okay. Put this on built-in output. And I think we have the president of Berklee.
Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk, and other great musicians. And so two brand new forms of music were born, not the most commercially successful in history, but certainly two of the most important and influential. So why do I tell you all this? Why should you care? Many of you may not care what happened 10 years ago, but I think it's important to remember that this is an industry that has had a history of more tumultuousness probably than any other industry that has survived in the world. And, you know, we're clearly in a period of some tumultuousness now, but I actually have a lot of optimism. So this year, with the help of a student at Berkeley named Nick Susie. Nick, where are you? Raise your hand. Nick has been helping me put together some case studies looking at what is happening right now with some important musical groups, artists, bands. And we picked a couple people to look at, and we're blessed to have two of these groups at the conference with us. And we're trying to understand what are the pathways that a modern musician uses to have some success and get some traction and find an audience for their music. My experience is that most young musicians don't really want fame and glory. They want to be able to make music that people care about, that connects them to people who like the same kind of music. I think the pursuit of fame and glory often happens, but it often happens later.
Okay, so that was part of the excerpt, an excerpt from the president of Berkeley starting out the Rethink Music Conference in Boston this week that I just came back from. And so now I want to just, I just sort of ran a mic in the hallway, so we're getting a lot of background noise, but I want to play this little conversation with some of the people that were attending the event.
Video.
That, yeah. And also somebody said, look, if every tune that you've ever written is not on YouTube as some kind of a music video, you're screwing yourself.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting. It was just an interesting takeaway.
Yeah.
I've been so remiss in...
Yeah. There was a lot of talk about how music is a tough sell in and of itself as a product.
Right.
But music is great when it comes to selling other products.
Yep.
So, of course, I started thinking, well, you know, what if I had some other product? What would that be?
Oh, wow, interesting.
And what's within the realm of... what product is in the realm of something that I could create?
Oh, wow.
So that is that I already have skills to create.
So
that would be sort of like music. And the first thing I thought of, and this is probably not that original, but... I love making like short little pieces of music, and ringtones are the perfect thing. And the ringtone could actually be a great tool for attracting traffic to my site.
Are people still
downloading? I thought that tanked the ringtone market.
You know what I love about the ringtones?
I'm not interested in selling them.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, and you know what I love about ringtones as a composer? They are of really short form.
Yeah.
And so you could actually compose, if you wanted to, for that form.
Exactly.
And in a perfect world, you'd do it in a looped way so that it would make kind of sense as you went around.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's cool. So what else? I mean...
So, you know, I'm not thinking in terms of viability as much as what would I enjoy creating?
Yeah, that's a...
I need to back up for a second, though, because this all came from a conversation the panel, which I missed, where they said... Music is a hard sell by itself, but if it's selling something, if you're selling
something one of the great examples was perfumes. Musicians are selling, music sells smells. I mean, that's the way I look at it. That's what I tweeted.
Smelly music sells smells.
So it was actually the musician's persona that was selling, I can't remember who it was. Who
fragrances,
was like,
I mean, everybody from Justin Bieber to Lady Gaga to...
Right.
The higher ups, and so not that I'm interested in selling smells,
what's the takeaway for us, though? That's for like the superstars,
right? So that was actually selling. That's sort of a misnomer, I think, because they were selling music sells, but really that was celebrity sells smells.
That's
right.
True. That's true.
But
beg to differ.
I've been saying this for a while to people. Music is a promotional tool.
Uh-huh.
And that you should view it as that. It's not your product. Like, granted, it needs to be. You have to have some of the best promotion out there.
Agreed.
But it still should be a way to spread and get.
Okay, so you got the flavor of what they're taking away from this event. There were a number of speakers. At this music symposium, they were talking about basically looking at the the model of the record and the original record business, and how now that we've gone from scarcity with records that you'd buy at a record store to ubiquity with, you know, zillions of digital files that are out there. And one of the things that people were taking away from this was, okay, music's not going to sell on its own, but it sells in concert with other things, or it, as a package with other things. I have a little hard time with that. I definitely am balking at that, and maybe I'm, you know, an old man or something, but I don't think so. So that's why I want to go back and play some more music. So I want to go back to this wonderful accordion album and play something else by, this is now another Ukrainian composer, Kolosov, Images of Passing Time. And there are three pieces here, and I'll see how my time is, see how the time is passing here, see if I have time for three or one or two. So we'll just start with this, and we'll either continue or move on. Here we go. So this is, again, the accordion player, Jelena Milochevic, and it's The Art of the Accordion.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that was Brian Wilson, ending this set of non sequiturs, I guess you'd call it. That was called Child is the Father of the Man, from the Smile Sessions. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. And we started off the set with this, our featured artist really today, the Serbian accordionist named Jelena Milošević. And this time she was, and we've been featuring her album called The Art of the Accordion. And she's been playing all these extraordinary Ukrainian composers. This one was, I'm going to butcher the name again, Kusiakov, Images of the Passing of Time. The first one was How Terrible It Is to Drown in the Blue Skies. The second one is called Procession. And the third one is called Waltz. And then I snuck in a little ditty from a TV show I did that had accordion in it called Rent-A-Goalie. It was a dark comedy series. And then we went from there to, Juana Molina. And this was from her album Segundo. And that was the set. So I want to, we're running out of time. So I want to play one more track from our featured album, The Art of the Accordion by Jelena Milošević. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about the When You Think Music conference. It was eye-opening and I think it was very valuable for the people that went to it. I'm still not sure what I got from it yet, but maybe somebody will email me, peter@soundforms.net, who did go and was able to prosper from it. Anyhow, so let's go back to our featured album, and I'm going to finish with, let's finish with this piece called Romance from, and we'll probably have to cut this out early because we're running out of time. This is Romance by F. Angelis and the accordionist Jelena Milošević from The Art of the Accordion. And we're going to have to fade out here. You've been listening to Sound Forms with your host, Peter Wetzler. And this week we're featuring the album called The Art of the Accordion by Jelena Milošević. Extraordinary album of Ukrainian composers and really showcasing the orchestral quality of the accordion. She's playing on this, the button accordion, which is a hugely rich orchestral instrument, and really does deserve to be in the world of classical music, the, you know, considered an instrument of. And so anyhow, this has been Soundforms. I'm your host, Peter Wetzler, and we're going to go on to the next show.